Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the JMO Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Michaels, and our guest this episode, we've got Joe Henry back on the show. We're going to be talking Lake of the Woods fishing opportunities, and nobody does it better than him. I really, really enjoy talking to Joe. We had him on a couple of months ago, and I tell you what, this guy's a passionate angler. And he's got great energy, and it's contagious. He's super, super fun to talk to. The last couple of times I talked to him, by the time we hung up, he just had me really, really fired up to go fishing, man. He's just a really, really cool guy, and it was fun to get to know him in the last podcast. In this one, we cover a lot of ground, talking about the opportunities up there, and you might think, well, it's Lake of the Woods. Do we really need to talk about the opportunities on Lake of the Woods? It kind of sells itself. It's a big body of water that everybody knows about. Well, Joe gets an opportunity in this interview to really talk about the big picture of Lake of the Woods and in a way kind of details it in a way that I just don't think you find anywhere else. And you know, for me, so many of these podcasts, ever since we started this, I've tried to have a healthy balance of episodes that were really dedicated to just identifying fishing opportunities, you know, throughout the year, throughout the seasons. And a lot of times I try to find the smaller, lesser known, you know, shine some light on, you know, the less popular opportunities. And Lake of the Woods is obviously not less popular than anywhere else, but there's definitely a story here that you just don't find everywhere else. And Joe is a ton of fun to talk to. And we're talking all about Lake of the Woods fishing. Let's get to it with Joe Henry. But yeah, maybe just for starters, man, how has the season been for you? How have things been going on? What are some of the big ticket topics for this year so far? Go ahead.
You know, it's been a fun start to the season. You know, and it's one of the things about being in the Midwest, right? One of the things about being in northern Minnesota is you have seasons. And those changes are really quite interesting when you're an angler. And, you know, we go from ice fishing to late ice in March to the Rainy River opening up, and the bite on the Rainy River this spring was just incredible.
I mean, yeah,
big numbers of walleyes caught on the Rainy River. It was a fun spring fishery. And I should not forget about the lake sturgeon. I mean, it was an incredible, incredible lake sturgeon spring fishing season. You know, I know boats that went out and they caught 30 fish a day, sturgeon a day. I mean, it was just incredible. And then, so that was kind of cool. And then of course we lead into the Minnesota fishing opener, which is usually mid-May. And, you know, we started out, we knew there was fish out in front, from that's where they were in March. There was bait out there. There was no reason for those fish to leave. We had the river was loaded. Some of those fish from the river will filter back into the lake and some will stay in the river, but all those things were shaping up nicely. And sure enough, you know, the opener happened and fishing was really good. We were able to fish across that whole south shore and of course up at the angle, and even people that fished the river in the opener and they did well too. And yeah, that getting that jig bite going, and you know, now is in the season's been really good. It's typically a jig and you know, minnow bite, jig and frozen emerald shiner bite for a lot of people. And you know, you anchor up your jig over the side of the boat, and it just, you know, get out in those big schools of walleyes and saugers, and it's good. And now, as we are, you know, into, you know, mid-June, some people are still jigging, but it's really starting to transition into a spinner bite where you're either patrolling or, with the case of the big charter boats, they're having their customers drift with a bottom bouncer and a spinner. You know, you might put a minnow or an emerald shiner on a spinner once in a while, sometimes a leech, but the vast majority of time you're using a two-hook harness and you're using a night crawler. And you know what? Our charter boats make a living on drifting spinners all summer long, and it's so effective for walleyes. And that's kind of where we're at right now. I know, you know, fish have been biting as a rule, 21 to 26 feet of water. And this last week, sure enough, people are starting to catch them in 5 to 8 feet of water. There's a bite going on there, and that's probably because the emerald shiners are starting to spawn in some of the sandy areas. And those, of course, walleyes are opportunistic, and they slide in to whack the bait, you know. But it's just like every year, Lake of the Woods is progressing through the season as the water's warm, as we get different hatches, as there's different things going on, like the shiners, you know. Sometimes there'll be the crayfish in the rocks, and you know, fish one part of the lake where there's rocks, and yeah, you clean some walleyes, and all the walleyes have crayfish in them. I mean, it's just very unique that way.
I have a tendency to be biased one way or another in different conversations. And I feel like balancing that conversation of like, how do you represent Lake of the Woods to the masses? Because Lake of the Woods is, I mean, it is like just an unbelievable engine. There's so many people for all, you know, in all skill levels that show up to Lake of the Woods to fish. And I kind of want to capture some of that, like what the rhyme or reason to sort of these fish patterns and going out and trolling spinners and, you know, the jig bite, everything you just said. But I want to balance, like, I don't want to make it sound like, you know, it's rudimentary and it's like the easiest place to go catch 100 walleyes in the world. But I also have probably had too many conversations where I made Lake of the Woods sound too technical. For you, like, help me out with this. Like, I want to have a conversation. I want to kind of deep dive into what you just said about, you know, how people can go out and find and catch fish. But I don't want to make it sound too easy, and I don't want to make it sound too hard. How do we sort of enter that conversation?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, I think first off, just kind of laying the groundwork. I mean, you know, when you look at Lake of the Woods, you know, Lake of the Woods, the walleye capital of the world, right? Well, obviously, with all due respect to a lot of other great, great bodies of water, it's a marketing tagline, but it does speak to a lot of things, and it's very true in many ways. You think about, you know, first off, Lake of the Woods has both walleyes and saugers, and those saugers are really valuable for shore lunches, for activity, catching more fish, everything else. So that in itself. And then you have, you know, the fact that you have millions of walleyes, the fact that you have a trophy walleye fishery on top of the many fish. I think the fact that, you know, it's a four season fishery. You know, we do have a very robust ice fishing season on top of the different open water seasons we talked about. We talked about ice. We talked about the spring river run on the Rainy River. We talked about sliding into the open water season with a fishing opener in the summer now, early summer. You know, we're going to go throughout the summer now, and we're gonna transition into, you know, the dog days. When the dog days hit, heck, a lot of people set their vacations up to Lake of the Woods during August. Why? Because we got that great big basin. And the deepest spot in that basin is 38 feet. And we know that a lot of those walleyes, huge schools of walleyes, will be out in that, you know, 32 to 35 feet of water out there. And people can drift them with spinners. You can go out and pull cranks on a lead core. You can use downriggers. You can use if you want to get away in the cheap, you can use a 4-ounce bottom bouncer with a 6-foot piece of mono or fluorocarbon and put a shallow diving crank down and go trolling through those schools of walleyes and have a heyday. But I mean, again, it's all those different patterns. We're going to slide into the fall. The water will get chillier. It'll go back to a jig bite, you know, and then we're into the fall with the Rainy River, where the emerald shiners run up the Rainy River. The walleyes follow, and we got the annual fall run of walleyes on the Rainy River. And so all those things are, it's 12 months a year. That's unique in itself. You know, I think the other thing is, you know, Lake of the Woods also has stained water. And I think that's important because with more and more lakes getting infested with zebra mussels, they're becoming gin clear. And, you know, I'll just speak for myself, fishing a lake that's gin clear for walleyes is a lot more difficult than fishing one that has stained water.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, you know, when you're fishing stained water, the walleyes and saugers bite better during the day than they do at night. Well, that's conducive to when most human beings are awake. And then, you know, secondly, you can be fishing in 5, 6, 7, 8 feet of water during the day and be catching these fish. They're not so spooked by the boat.
Yep.
You know, when you're jigging fish, you know, you normally when it's a very when I fish tournaments, walleye tournaments, and I'm fishing some of these gin clear lakes, if I'm using a Lindy rig, you know, I'm using a 8-foot snell with 4-pound fluorocarbon, and the color of the bead and the color of the hook absolutely make a difference on how many fish you'll catch. You know, I hate to say this, but when you're in Lake of the Woods, when you're vertical jigging over the side of the boat, you can use a 1/4 to a 1/2 ounce jig. Heck, great big jig, no problem. You want to hook you want to put 2 minnows on instead of 1, and they're dead frozen emerald shiners, no problem. Walleyes love them. You want to bounce that thing off the bottom, and, you know, if you're an angler that's not real, real skilled, you don't have a lot of experience, having a heavier jig so you can tell where the bottom is really conducive, you know? I mean, so there's a lot of advantages. You know, I think the other thing to think about when you think about Lake of the Woods is if you're a skilled angler, you know, bringing your own boat up, you get three parts to Lake of the Woods. You got the Rainy River. And on the Rainy River, of course, that feeds Lake of the Woods. You get 42 miles of navigable river that's loaded with not only walleyes, but other kinds of fish. Then you have the second part of Lake of the Woods is that great big open basin called Big Traverse Bay. That's about 30 miles north-south by 25 miles east-west. And, you know, you got some different reefs that pop out in certain spots. You get some sand and shoreline areas that go to mud transitions. But the majority of that basin's a big open bowl of mud. I mentioned it tops out at 38 feet, which makes that whole thing full of life. But that's the second part of it. And then, of course, the third part is that little tip of Minnesota that sticks up into Canada called the Northwest Angle. You know, it's the northernmost point of the contiguous U.S., and that's where the 14,552 islands of Lake of the Woods begin. That's where the Canadian Shield begins on Lake of the Woods. So now you have rock points, tons of structure compared to the basin. So three very different areas. And, you know, if you're a skilled angler, you can fish any one of those three areas, no problem. You bring up a boat, you're going to figure it out between looking at fishing reports, talking to bait stores, talking to your resort, you're going to find fish. If you're not a real skilled angler, or you have a small boat and that big water is intimidating, or whatever, I mean, maybe you don't fish at all, you can come up to Lake of the Woods, and because of the infrastructure of the resorts, you know, they provide charter boats where literally you step on a boat, rods, reel, tackle, bait, licensed charter captain, it's all provided for you. They're going to put you on fish. They're going to show you how to catch them. And then, you know, even when you come in the afternoon at 5 o'clock, they're going to clean your fish for you. A lot of people won't admit it, but they don't know how to clean fish real well, and they're intimidated by that. And that could be a reason why they don't go fishing. So when you look at that whole lay of the land from a non-technical perspective, you know, I think all those things are important. I love the fact that Lake of the Woods has a slot limit. All the walleyes from 19 and a half to 28 inches, you put them back in the water. You take a good picture, you got a good memory, you put them back. That's called sustainability. You keep your eaters under 19 and a half. You can keep one over 28 inches if you want for the wall. But I mean, that lends itself to a sustainable fishery. And in our fishery, I know you had the fisheries manager from DNR, Matt Skoog, on a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
He talked about it. But, you know, we have a very good population of walleyes and saugers right now, and it's healthy. And I think a lot of those things are part of it. The other thing we talked about off air a little bit, Taylor, is, you know, the forage base on Lake of the Woods. You know, a lot of times when a fishery is having some struggles, it's not a fish struggle as much as it is a forage struggle. There's something going on with the bait. You know, on Lake of the Woods, we're lucky. We got so many different kinds of forage. I mean, you got your perch. You have a minnow that lives in the deeper water that most people don't even see. It's called a perch minnow. It's different than a normal perch. You have your emerald shiners, which is a staple for Lake of the Woods walleyes. You got tulipies. Did you know that when a walleye in Lake of the Woods hits about 25 inches long, which is about 5 pounds, their diet really starts focusing on tulipies? And that's one of the reasons that when anglers are fishing tournaments now, specifically the catch and release tournaments, where the slot limit doesn't matter, you're just going for the biggest fish in the system, the majority of that fishing is going to happen offshore because that's where the tulipies live. And those big walleyes are targeting tulipies. But, you know, you got crayfish, you got numerous different hatches going on throughout the year. I was fishing earlier in this year, and I was with some family members, and we were fishing a rock reef. And there was three different humps that topped out at about 6 feet of water. And I was pulling cranks over the top of these rock reefs. The rock reef that had the fish on it was the one that had the most hatch going on. There wasn't a huge hatch, but where all the carcasses were, surprise, surprise, that's where the majority of the fish were. And, geez, you know, we pulled cranks over the top of this rock reef and we caught our walleyes. Some were in the slot. We had to let them go. Some were keepers. We caught a bunch of pike. We caught my brother caught a 41-inch pike, which is a darn nice pike. We caught a smallmouth bass. I mean, my point is, you know, that forage is very, very important to the lake. And that's going to keep the sustainability of our fishery cranking as much as anything will.
I kind of want to dig into your first trip up. What are some of the things that somebody, when they're having that pain and anguish, that stress of pulling the trigger on Lake of the Woods for the first time, what is it that causes stress for Lake of the Woods that they got to go up there? I'm thinking environmental things. Like if you're thinking from a fishing standpoint, what happens when it's super windy? If I invest all my time and money in a 4 or 5 day weekend and I can't switch those dates and it gets right ahead of the trip and all of a sudden it's going to be super windy. Or, you think about, there's a big bug hatch and I get some fishing report that fishing is tough. Like walk me through some of those topics, Joe.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. You know what? As an example, the way I started going to Lake of the Woods is I started ice fishing. A lot of people do. They start ice fishing Lake of the Woods and they have success and they keep going ice fishing. And then eventually, we ended up I started fishing tournaments. And tournament fishing forced me to have to learn Lake of the Woods. So I started learning Lake of the Woods. Honestly, my first tournament I fished, we fished closer to shore spots. We fished the Rainy River some. And then as time would go on pre-fishing, you gain confidence. And you start going to further spots when the weather's better. And you start gravitating, right? Well, you learn over the time and you just get more confident. Now, if I was coming up there for the first time, to your question, number one, you could jump on a charter boat. If you jump on a charter boat, there's no worries. Literally, all you need to do is get to the resort, know the address, know how to use your Google Maps or whatever, and just get to the resort. If you get to the resort, everything's included, right? You're fine. If you're going to bring your own boat, and it's the first time you're bringing your own boat, then I would say a couple of things. Have a backup plan. So wherever you're staying, like if you're staying on the South Shore and you're going to be accessing the big lake, you'll have a harbor there. But, have a backup plan. So what I would say a backup plan is if it's blown out hard, which direction is it blowing? You know, if it's blown from the south and you're staying on the south end, no problem because you can go out and fish your shoreline. If it's blowing hard out of the west, and you're on the south shore and there's big waves out in front of you, you can trail your boat over to the west shoreline and go out of a boat ramp there and fish that leeward side. You can also fish the Rainy River. There are 42 miles of navigable Rainy River and there's fish in there all year long. So, I mean, that's a great option. Tons of boat ramps and there's different stretches of the river. I mean, it's just super interesting. It's beautiful and it's full of fish. The other option is the Northwest Angle. You can shoot up to the Northwest Angle. You could trail your boat up there. It takes about an hour to get up there from the south end. You get up there in 1 hour, and now you're amongst the 14,552 islands. And you can always duck behind an island and have good fishing. I think the other thing is bays. You know, I was with an outdoor writer last year. We had a half a day to get out, and it was blowing hard. I wasn't going to take my 20-foot boat on the big water when it was blowing so hard. So we went to Zippel Bay. And, you know, there's 4 Mile Bay, there's Zippel Bay, there's Bostic Bay along the south end. But Zippel Bay is about the size of a kind of a narrow inland lake. So we went to Zippel Bay and we just went fishing. I think I pulled cranks. And, you know, it tops out at about eight feet of water, maybe 9 feet in a couple spots. But, you know, we caught pike. We caught a smallmouth bass. And we caught a few nice walleyes. One of the walleyes was 25 and a half inches. So, in fact, there was some guys were pre-fishing a tournament, and they were coming in, and they saw me net that fish, and, like, they yelled over, like, how many of those have you gotten?
Yeah.
I mean, they were watching. But my point is that there are some opportunities that people wouldn't think of. Hey, just because it blows doesn't mean anything. I remember talking to somebody who's in the fishing industry, and he was kind of laughing a few years ago. He goes, you know, we were up there on a trip, and we all our smaller boats, you know, we weren't on charters, and it blew hard one day. Well, right off the bat, a few of the guys said, hey, there's our chance to go, have a good lunch and have a few beers, whatever, at some of the different resorts. Well, that's fun too. But he says, my son and I were together, and we wanted to fish. So we went on the Rainy River, and we just went along the shorelines and started pitching jigs, into docks and those dock posts and stuff. We pitched weed edges. We pitched some of the feeder streams that come into the Rainy River. And we had a great day. We caught walleye, sauger, smallies, pike. They caught a ton of fish. Heck, I just did we shot a TV show last year, and we did it in August on the Rainy River. Walleye, saugers, perch, smallmouth, pike, crappies. Big crappies we caught, but all those fish were in the river. It's a typical river system. There's everything in there. So, I mean, there are some nice options if that wind blows. In fact, I always think, I talked to one guy at a sports show, and he says, all my buddies come up and they jump on charter boats. He goes, I bring my my boat up, and we always fish the river purposely in the deep summer. And I go, you're fishing the river purposely? Yeah. And he goes, I go, what are you doing? He goes, we love doing a milk run. And we'll do a milk run where the different feeder rivers enter the Rainy. And we'll just cast shorelines into the feeder river if it goes up far enough and if it's deep enough. And we'll work around there and we'll hit some bridge embankments and just hitting some key spots, just doing a milk run. We always end up with a 40-plus inch pike. We catch our walleyes. We get smallies. It's just a variety, but we catch fish. And it's fun because the river's beautiful. There's so much to see. It's small water. It's never real wavy. I thought, what a neat opportunity, right? Like that's what he looks forward to.
Oh yeah. I think that's a big part of Lake of the Woods Lake of the Woods is such a big topic. You could probably speak to this. It's like, it's such a big topic. It's like, how do you, whether it's a radio interview or whether it's even a TV show, to be honest, that's what we do here at JMO. It's like, one of the troubles when you go to these big destinations, you want to tell a story or whatever, but Lake of the Woods is such a big story, in 20, 21 minutes of a full episode for television, like you're only going to tell, that much of a story. You could never tell the whole story. I think with Lake of the Woods, there's so much to it. And like what you're just saying right there, I think is very meaningful to people to hear, for you to kind of explain the diversity of opportunities there, or the fact that you can trailer over. I mean, those are just those simple little things that I just think, there just isn't room for all of that in every other kind of interview. You know what I mean?
Well, and I think the other thing, Taylor, is, when you look at other big bodies of water, and let's face it. I mean, when one of the advantages of some of the bigger lakes that we all love as walleye anglers, there's a lot of walleyes in those lakes, and that's why we fish them, because they're so prolific with walleyes. One of the challenges is, because they're big bodies of water, when that wind blows, now what? Like, really, if all you have is the basin, and that's all you have, what you're forced to do is go to the calmer side of the lake and fish that shoreline. With Lake of the Woods, you can do that. Plus, you got the 42 miles of navigable Rainy River. You got 14,552 islands in the north end of the lake. And you have those big bays in the south end. I mean, there are some options. And I sometimes think it's cool because, like, give you an example. I was fishing the Minnesota Tournament Trail once, and pre-fishing, and we took a day on the river because we saw the weather forecast for the couple of days coming up for the tournament, and one of the days was going to howl, and we wanted to have a backup plan. So we ended up pulling lead core in the river, and where we were pulling lead core down the river, right down the middle of the river in 20-something feet of water, we weren't seeing any fish in the graph, and we started catching walleyes. We come to find out, after talking to some pros and some different things, and people that were better at sonar than I was, that in the main river, you have sand rifts that come up gradually and then they're dropped down gradually. And those walleyes, a lot of them will lay down in those depressions. Well, your sonar catches the tops of those sand rifts, and if there's just a depression that goes down about a foot, they're going to miss those walleyes.
Yep.
You won't mark fish. You just have to fish it. Man, was that interesting? Was a good learning. And man, did we catch good fish pulling lead corn cranks? But I mean, sometimes when you have a blow day, as an example, it forces you to change your plans and fish the river or fish a bay. But then all of a sudden, it's like, what a neat deal.
Yeah, it's not a sacrifice.
I'm actually glad that happened.
Yeah. No. No, like you, the light bulb was going off when you were saying that. Like when you think about the Great Lakes or portions of the Great Lakes or just, you know, bigger, you know, yeah, just any of the big reservoirs out west or whatever. A lot of times a blow day, you could, you know, to be fair, you can probably still within an hour or whatever, you know, a reasonable amount of time, you could trailer somewhere that would just get you on the water. But it usually comes at a sacrifice to, you know, your trip or your expectations to some extent. But like on Lake of the Woods, those are adventures. Like it forces you to take another equal adventure to what you were thinking about planning. I mean, I think that's a fair point to make, because the bigger picture of this is like, what are the opportunities on Lake of the Woods? Why are the opportunities so great? Why do we always want to talk about Lake of the Woods? It's like, these are all those little details or big details that kind of get unsung that really paint a picture and is especially important to somebody who is trying to do it for the first time, which is that's the hardest time. That kind of comes back to that.
I think, and you know, we talked about that the first time being the most difficult because you don't know anything. But, you know, once you go up that first time, you kind of get the lay of the land. You see how the river, what the river looks like and how the resorts are situated on the river and how the resorts are situated in the south end. And you kind of get an idea of the charter boats going out of the river or going out of their harbors in the south end and how that works. And you know, all that stuff, you see where the boat ramps are. You see where the bait shops are. You kind of get a lay of the land. Next time you go up, you're like, you know what? I tell you, we stayed at this resort this time. You know, next time we go up, we should grab dinner. I've heard of that resort and I've heard of that resort. Let's just go grab dinner at those two resorts when we're done fishing, just to check them out, see what they look like. I mean, but that's all the learning, you know? And then the other thing I'll mention is, you know, if you're a walleye nut, well, then yeah, man, have at it. Just keep on those walleyes and come up with a game plan if it blows. But, you know, if you're willing to switch species a little bit, tell you, number one, we have a very, very robust sturgeon fishery. And, you know, the DNR estimates that from about Morrison, Ontario, down through the angle, through the basin and into the river, we have over 100,000 lake sturgeon that are over 40 inches long. You know, it's an incredible fishery. You can go out and anchor up in a river in a hole and sit back and just enjoy a beautiful, slow rolling river, beautiful scenery, waterfall around and everything else, and soak some worms. You use a little bit heavier tackle, use a 3-ounce no roll sinker as an example, use a sinker based on the current, of course, and then load a circle hook up with worms and crawlers. And you can catch sturgeon, you'll catch suckers, you'll catch walleyes, you'll catch, but what an enjoyable day. I mean, there's so many opportunities that are a little bit different because it is Lake of the Woods. Most fisheries don't have lake sturgeon. Most don't have saugers. You know, and of course, even pulling crankbaits in the river is an example. You throw crankbaits along shore, you'll catch everything. I also should mention, you know, the Northwest Angle. I mean, you know, when you travel to the Northwest Angle, I should explain the angle to people if you don't know what it is. The Northwest Angle is that little tip of Minnesota that looks like a chimney in the state. It sticks up into Canada. And that's actually the northernmost point of the contiguous United States. And of course, that's where, because the Canadian Shield begins there, that's where the 14,000 plus islands of Lake of the Woods begin. So if you trailer your boat up there, you'll be traveling 40 miles through Canada. So you need to have passports or a passport card, an enhanced driver's license, or you can use a driver's license with an original birth certificate to get you across the border. Nobody can have a DUI. Canada doesn't allow DUIs into the country. They look at that as a felony, whereas we look at that in the United States as a misdemeanor. So you can trailer your boat up. The other option is, you know, boating across to the Northwest Angle. You can stay in Minnesota waters and boat up. The kicker is if it's a real windy day, that's not an option. So, you know, trailering is a better bet. But, you know, once you get up there, we got about 15 resorts up there, and you can hide behind an island, whether it's on the U.S. side or whether you decide to get an Ontario fishing license and slide over the border and fish Ontario waters. Well, then, and I think the other thing, too, is, you know, people get confused. Gosh, you know, I could stay in the Northwest Angle of Minnesota and fish Ontario. Well, yeah, that in fact, I would say during the summer months, most of the people that come up to the Northwest Angle, the majority actually fish Ontario water. What they do is they stay at a nicer resort on the U.S. side, and literally it's a stone's throw into Ontario because we're right on the border up there. And you can boat into Canada waters without having to call in at all. You don't have to call into customs or anything. As long as you don't touch land, touch a dock, anchor, moor, or exchange goods or services with another boat. So you can go up there and boat into Ontario, fish all day, and boat back and not have to check in with U.S. or Canada customs. So they've made it much easier. An Ontario non-resident fishing license isn't very expensive, and you've just opened up yourself to 14,000 islands with some of the best fishermen in the world.
Yeah, it's once you're up there in a, you know, if you trailer up there, I mean, it's point blank range. It's not like it sounds so exotic. I mean, there's got to be a couple of rule changes here or there, though, if you did just fish across the line a little bit. Is there anything with bait or any of that, those types of regulations that people got to remember?
Yep. So if you would go fish Ontario waters, you know, the regulations are a little bit different. With your license, you can normally keep a couple walleyes a day, too. And there's different length regulations with them. You just have to look that up. It's not complicated. And then, you know, a lot of times it depends on which license you get. If you get a conservation license, you can keep two per day and have two in possession. If you get a sport license, you can keep two per day and have four in possession for your trip home. No alcohol on board. You can't use have alcohol on board when you're fishing in Canada. Bait. Yeah, there's a new rule as of a couple years ago that no bait is allowed to go from the United States into Canada. And that means bait that's alive, dead, frozen, whatever. No bait. So what most people are doing is either they're just using plastics. I mean, there's so many walleyes on the Canadian side. They can just use plastics and have a heyday, whether you're pulling spinners or jigging. The other option would be to stop at one of the, you know, resorts that are just over the border and pick up some bait. Now, if you do that, you do have to call in to Canada Customs and check in. You know, not that many years ago, we had to do that every day if we were going to fish Canada. And it's not a big deal. You call the 888 CAN PASS number. And, you know, they'll answer the phone, bonjour, hello, Canada Customs, how may I help you? Hi, Sam, I'm at the northwest angle. I'm going to be, fishing the Ontario side of Lake of the Woods. I'm just checking in. What's your boat number, please? How many people in your party? You know, do you have any live bait with you today? You know, blah, 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 blah. And then they give you a check-in number that you write down for the day. And then you're on your way and you're good to go. Now, that enables you to stop at a resort over there to get bait if you want to, if you think you need it. You can do a shore lunch on a lot of the islands over there. They call them Queensland. They're owned by the government. And you can do a shore lunch on some of the islands. And some people like doing that. A lot of our guides will take you and do a shore lunch up there just for the experience. It's cool. It's just a different world up there.
Oh, it's super cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the best way, you know, talking about the limits and stuff like that, what's the best route to take, you know, if you're up there in the Northwest Angle and you're going to fish, you know, whatever, both sides, and you are going to keep fish, if you're looking to just keep your limit, like, what's the best way to interpret any and all those rules? And you say, you know, the amount of fish you can keep on Ontario is probably different than how many you can keep on the Minnesota side.
Yep. Here's how it works. It's not real complicated. You got to figure that we're doing this every single day of the year. Particularly during the open water season, we're doing this every day. And you know, the way it works is if you're fishing both sides and you have an Ontario license as well as a Minnesota license, you could go into Ontario, for instance, and fish and keep your two fish, your two walleyes as an example. And then when you boat into Minnesota, you can stop and fish Minnesota if you have a Minnesota fishing license as well. And then you can keep up to your Minnesota license, up to what your Minnesota license allows, which would be in Minnesota on the Lake of the Woodside, Minnesota, you can have a combined limit of walleyes and saugers of up to six. Up to four of those six can be walleyes. And so you can have four walleyes total, up to four. And then there's a slot limit, like we talked about, 19 and a half inches to 28 inches you must release immediately. So as long as the fish that you bring back from the Ontario side aren't in that slot limit, you're good to go. You can have one fish over 28 on the Minnesota side, but that would correspond with the Ontario limits. So it's pretty much the same. The only caveat is that when you come from the Ontario side coming into Minnesota, I think that the way their centimeters are equated into inches, you could keep hypothetically a 27 and a half inch walleye in Ontario. And of course, if you fished to Minnesota, that would be illegal. So if you really wanted to keep a fish of 27 and a half inches in Ontario, as an example, what you'd want to do is when you came back to Minnesota, you just wouldn't stop and fish. You'd have to go right back to your Minnesota resort with that fish, and then you're perfectly legal.
Right. Just because, yeah, you'd just be passing through. It'd just be like driving in a vehicle.
Yep.
If you're fishing in Ontario, you don't stop in Wetterline. You just keep driving, and you'd get to shore. You get that fish on shore. That's an Ontario fish, legally caught and kept.
Yep. And you know, we have meetings with DNR, Minnesota DNR enforcement, and you know, we just kind of went over this too, and they confirmed that. Yep, no problem. You know, if you're coming from Ontario, but you know, that's an anomaly. That's going to happen very, very seldom. The majority of the time, you're going to have fish that equate to the Minnesota limits and in the Minnesota slot limit as well, and it's they're very close. They're very close to being the same. And you asked where they get that information. You know, I'll say just go to the when you fish the Ontario side of Lake of the Woods from the northwest angle, that's Ontario Zone 5. So when you look online and just search it, it comes right up with what all your limits are for all your fish, and it makes life easy. Really, it does. And you know, but we have, you know, it's funny though, people don't realize this, but you know, when people go to the angle. You know, ice fishing, the majority of the fishing happens in Minnesota from the angle. Some people go into Ontario and fish the ice up there. But as a rule, in the summertime, more people than not, when they stay at the angle, they'll slide over the border and fish those islands. They just love going up there. Even though the limits are reduced, it's not so much about bringing home a cooler full of fish. It's about the experience, the beauty, the aura, the great fishing you have, the multi-species, the eagles, the otters, the black bears. I was just up there a few weeks ago, and when we were shooting back to our resort by the Angle Inlet, my brother said, "What in the heck is that in the water? Is that a black dog?" And I went, "Yeah. It's either going to be a wolf or a bear." And we kind of got closer, and it was a black bear swimming across, which was really cool for everybody to see. Well, you know, and you think about this one. Now, if you're a couple, and you have passports, all your credentials and everything, and you say, you know what, where would we like to go? My wife doesn't fish very much. You know, we want to just be on a boat by ourselves with a guide. You know, and kind of have just our little trip. Boy, the Northwest Angle would be a great thing to do. And, you know, what you do there is just get a hold of one of the Northwest Angle resorts, and they're connected with all the guides. You get a guide, and you're good to go. You know, we have some of the resorts up at the Angle have food and beverage. They have the restaurants and bars and stuff. And I mean, it that would be a great trip for the right people. You know what I mean? Now, if you go to the south end and you're a couple, hey, you jump on board a charter boat. You don't have to. A charter boat holds six people. You don't have to buy the whole charter boat out. What they do in the south end typically is they'll put some other people in the boat. So there might be a group of three and use a group of two, but up to six people. I always enjoy going on with other people. You meet people from different parts of the United States or the world in some cases. It's just an enjoyable time fishing together. It's fun. The other thing I should mention too, Taylor, is, you know, the Northwest Angle. I mean, that's where our muskie anglers go. And we got a huge muskie fishery. And I mean, it's incredible. It was funny because most people will fish Ontario amongst those islands for the muskies out of the Northwest Angle. However, during COVID, when the borders were locked down, you couldn't cross the border, muskie anglers were forced to fish the Northwest Angle for muskies. What do you think happened?
Well, they found fish.
Oh, they couldn't believe the size of the fish they found. And they also commented how it didn't appear that these fish had seen very many lures.
Oh, yeah, because everybody had been driving past them. Yeah. It's amazing. I think that's true. I think these are good big details when we have conversations about fishing opportunities anywhere. I love highlighting opportunities all over the place. You know, Lake of the Woods is just one of these big capital fisheries that we get to talk about right now. And it's like, you know, these are like real fun details. And Lake of the Woods, it's not like, It's not like the shorelines are just, you know, sheathed or just lined with resorts. It's open. It's wide open. And it's still a frontier. There's still so much yet to be discovered. There, you know, you're not going up there to just fish in these big crowds whatsoever. You can be as adventurous as you want. And if you're, you know, we talk about diversity where you could trailer your boat this way or that way or, you know, switch species. But sometimes diversity for somebody is that, you know, they have confidence fishing on a rock reef, but they just want to switch it up and get outside of that and go fish the mud, you know, or something like that. Where Lake of the Woods, these big patterns, you know, there's lots of fish doing lots of things. And for a lot of people's home body of water, if they're in Minnesota or just anywhere in the Midwest, you know, a lot of smaller lakes, you know, that isn't so much the case. Whereas on Lake of the Woods, there's a lot of fish doing a lot of things. And it's forgiving that way that it allows you to, you don't have to go with the crowds to fish. Whereas, gosh, just think about like where I grew up. There's a lot of lakes in like Otter Tail County where, you know, the best spot, there's probably is only a handful of like, quote unquote, the, you know, good spots on the lake. And they all probably, everybody kind of knows about them and they all set up very similarly. And, you know, you can be adventurous, you know, if you want to lower your expectations to, you know, one or two bites a day, to do certain things, but Lake of the Woods, it allows you to either, you know, do something that, you know, is way different or exotic to yourself or, you know, what opportunities are around you. Or you can, you know, flex your strengths and do something, you know, and just kind of tailor your trip that way. But, it, you know, to some people, that's diversity, you know, just being 400 yards out into the mud.
Well, I'll tell you. So, think about this one. So, first off, it helps to have, and this is an estimate. Who knows if it's high or low or whatever. But, you know, it helps to have 10 million walleyes. And then you talk about not being able to fish the whole lake. I mean, 14,552 islands. If you include the Canadian side, there's 1 million acres of water. There's over 65,000 miles of shoreline. So, you know, when you talk about a sustainable fishery between, you know, the forage base we talked about, you know, think about the spawning. You know, if you had to put all your eggs in one basket and all the fish spawned in the sea and all of a sudden the water got cold, those eggs would be, they'd all die and you'd have a zero spawning year that year. What a risk. We got 65,000 miles of shoreline. I mean, you know, you're never going to have all boom or all bust. You're always going to have different parts of the shoreline spawning at different times, which gives you sustainability. I think the other thing I think is interesting, too, is, yeah, we got a lot of walleyes and saugers and stuff, right? Everybody talks about walleyes. But, you know, we have big walleyes. We have that big walleye gene. We have tulubies, which is a forage base that helps those walleyes get to be big. And the other thing that's interesting about Lake of the Woods, and I just spoke to, I fished a small tournament on a different body of water this last weekend, and I spoke to a guide who actually won it. And he said that he, you know, fishes Lake of the Woods in some tournaments also. And he said, you know, Lake of the Woods is one of those lakes where those walleyes are known to be angry. When you catch a walleye, how hard they fight. And I thought that was very interesting. He said, there's a few bodies of water I noticed that, and Lake of the Woods is one of them. I've heard that before from tournament pros. They said those walleyes in Lake of the Woods, man, they just fight.
Yeah, and I think that stained water is a big, big part of that conversation, too. You know, when you talk about forgiving, the daytime bite. If you can use a presentation directly under the boat, you know, where these fish aren't spooking from the boat like they are in so many other places. You know, water clarity has so much to do with that. Fishing pressure has so much to do with that. You've got a stained, you know, water, which doesn't make it low water quality. The water quality on Lake of the Woods is tremendous. We found that out, you know, talking to Matt.
That stained water, what that is, you know, there's different plants where the water feeds Lake of the Woods. There's different areas and primarily bog around the outside of Lake of the Woods. So the plant matter naturally stain the water called tannins that naturally stains the water to that kind of that light coffee color. And that's what naturally stains the water that flows into Lake of the Woods. So that's why the water is stained in that part of the world. And It just it's interesting how that is conducive. I'll tell you, I was fishing a tournament one time, and we were on walleyes in a bay in 6 feet of water, and I was pulling spinners with a 2 ounce bouncer, and you know, at a 45 degree angle, where my kicker motor was, my bouncer was not very far from my kicker in 6 feet of water, and we were stroking walleyes. And you know, I said to myself, what would happen if we're getting this good this way? What would happen if I pulled my kicker up and just used my troll motor on my bow? So I started pulling the spinners with that troll motor in the same area. I didn't catch as many. I put the kicker motor back down and actually started catching more fish again. So I don't know if that was if that motor noise was a catalyst that when walleyes, you figure walleyes grow up hearing that noise their whole lives typically. And when they hear that, does that turn on a feeding window because the propulsion kicks up bait or something? Who knows?
Yeah, I've heard that before. It didn't
spook them.
I've heard that before. I've heard that from guys over in Wisconsin that fish different, like, you know, river systems, you know, tributaries to the Great Lakes. And it's a lot of stained water where I hear this stuff come from. I've also heard from a lot of old timers that have credibility, where, you know, whether it's weed fish or fishing in trees and things like that on reservoirs, where they'll just make their first pass down a weed line on plane. And it's almost like it stirs the fish up. I mean,
I've heard that too, actually.
I think Lake of the Woods, there's all these little conversations. There's all these little, you know, personal stories from people that have made trips up there, that Lake of the Woods is such a forgiving place. It's diverse, and it's just so welcoming to people of all shapes and sizes. And it's like the hardest, you know, that first trip when you plan to Lake of the Woods, that's going to be the toughest one. Because after that, you're going to, you know, just... you want to go back, and you know, you build confidence in, like you said, the lay of the land, even just knowing logistics, things like bait shops and where the gas stations are and just what these resorts have to offer. Once you experience it that first time, you have, and you just, you know what you're heading back to. I imagine a lot of people just book before they leave. But I think that, I just think that there's just so much on a platform like this, this long form conversation. Like, I like being able to break this stuff down and tell all these stories in one sit down where we can talk about the Northwest angle and what that has to offer. And we can talk about, you know, how that ties in with people on the South Shore, or how that ties in with the resorts on the river, or, you know, the fact that, you know, you're connecting the dots that you can trailer from one, you know, from one resort that's getting pounded by the wind. You can trailer over here where it's protected, and that doesn't take a half a day. That just takes, you know, one cup of coffee, and you're there, and you put the boat in. Like, that's the kind of stuff that just, you know, just kind of by design, it's just, it doesn't particularly get talked about or shown on, you know, like in the video format, you know, like in the YouTube world. It just doesn't show up very often because they're just talking about the fishing, and rightfully so. It's not being masked or left out of the brochure on purpose. But, these are great details for people to know and understand, I think, for sure.
I think another thing that's important to note is, this is interesting to me, and I notice these things. I'm involved with tourism across all of Minnesota. And, you know, Lake of the Woods isn't that cosmopolitan area where you're going to be looking at rates and saying, holy smokes. You're going to say, holy man, this isn't that bad. Look what you can stay at a resort or a hotel for. Look what you can jump on a charter boat for. You know, honey, I know you wanted to trail your boat. This is our first time up. Should we just go on a charter for a couple of days at these prices and just get the lay of the land and decide whether we bring our boat up next time? And I'm not saying that as any other reason other than when you look at our pricing, people have said to me over and over again, geez, for what I can go for and stay at a resort at on Lake of the Woods, it's a bargain compared to other areas. And unfortunately for our business owners, it just doesn't seem like the rates have caught up to what some other more cosmopolitan areas are going for, you know. But that's important because it gets people, you don't have to have a ton of money to go there. And the reason I say that is because it opens it up to everyday people who want to go fishing. And the other thing that's important to me too is, you know, yeah, if you're dialed in on fishing and maybe listening to this podcast, you are, and that's why you listen. But if you're dialed in, man, you're going to have a heyday. And there's different techniques. You're going to see fish on your graph. You'll see them on side scan. You can certainly sharpshoot them with forward-facing sonar if you want to. You're going to have shoreline areas with rock reefs that there's no boats on because all the boats are out in no man's land where there's huge schools of walleyes, yet there's nice schools of walleyes roaming around and you're going to have them all to yourself. That's great. But I also like to talk to the people who don't fish that much or the family that says, you know, honey, we should try to take the kids fishing sometime. You know, we don't have a boat or we have a small 16 footer. What should we do? That's where I think it's cool that, you know, you get your family or even a business group or something involved in fishing. You know, if you got somebody leading the way and can show you a good experience, now all of a sudden you get a chance to hook people onto fishing. And I think that's so important.
That's it, man. We're so good on time here, man. Let's sign this thing off. Joe, where can people, what are some good resources to promote for even just content, you know, talking about, you know, episodes of TV episodes or YouTube or online resources, people get information, or just if somebody had a question for yourself, throw it all out there.
Yeah, Ben, you know what? I would say two main spots. For real-time information, stuff that's current, you know, current fishing reports, things like that, check out our Facebook page, the Lake of the Woods Tourism Facebook page. We keep things up to date pretty darn actively on that. And that we also have an Instagram page as well. And then, you know, as far as a basic hub of information, resorts, guides, fishing report, past TV shows we've done on different aspects of fishing Lake of the Woods, all that is housed on our website. And that website is Lake of the Woods MN for Minnesota, lakeofthewoodsmn.com. And you know what? Everything's there. And you know, even just, you know, we always talk about first time's the most intimidating. Hey, pick out a good fishing resort that's going to cater to whether you want to jump on a charter, jump in with a guide, or bring your own boat and hey, have at it. You know what? It's going to work out. Those resort owners up there are very, very, very good about it. This is what they do for a living. They want to treat you right. They want to help you see a comeback, you know, and they're going to help you show the way. Make a contact with them, and they'll show you the way. And the rest of it's making some memories.
All right, Joe. Yeah, man. I appreciate it. I love your energy, man. You always get me fired up, dude. I love it.
Well, thank you. Authentic, and I love yours too, man. So it works.
All right, man. We'll talk to you.
Thank you.
Later.